are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a significant theological concept within Christianity, particularly in understanding the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the church. The concept refers to the belief that upon accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, believers receive the Holy Spirit to dwell within them. Hey, I did say it's an interesting one. This one we're going to, because hi, issues of the Holy Spirit are just, you know, I'll just end it there. We are joined on the line by my elder Jonathan Yamba, who's going to help us unpack ukuthi kanti kahle kahle where does the Holy Spirit dwell, you know. So we're going to be looking at that. My elder, good morning, how are you?
Elder Yamba, you are muted.
I love it when he mutes me before he comes through. Elder Yamba, hello. I come back again. Yes, now I am. Yes, now I, Elder. But I'm looking. So he's muting and unmuting. Maybe there's something wrong with the phone there. My Elder, unmute now. Yes, now we have you. How are you, my Elder?
Hear me now?
Yes, now we can.
Very fine. How are you, my dear?
Hi, we are good. This one has me standing on my feet, but yeah, you will help us.
We praise God.
Indeed. So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that the Holy Spirit that we are discussing, you know, may help us with this conversation?
Shall we pray? Our God, our loving Father in the heavens most high, what a privilege and blessing is ours that, Lord, we who are humans can endeavor to understand heavenly things very well, that out of iniquity we have been sharpened. And even our best attempts to study and do all our things, we cannot. It is you who in fact say that I would have told you many things. Remember when you're speaking to Nicodemus, and yet you are not able to fathom and understand. So in this moment, we want to pray as we will discuss holy things, especially pertaining to He, the Holy Spirit. May He dwell within us. May He Himself show us what to say. Because even prayer, He will present our prayers with groaning. So we are desperate for the presence of the Holy Spirit. But throughout this discussion, we'll anchor it only on that which comes from on high. This is our asking in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. I am praying, Gakul, my elder. I've been praying that when we discuss this one, we don't dwell on who the Holy Spirit is, but we dwell on the other things pertaining to the Holy Spirit, because yeah, it gets too much, it gets hectic, you know. But today we're focusing on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I have my Bible. I just quickly took it here because we with this one, as we kick it off, we want to look at the biblical passages such as John 14, you know, verses 16-17, and Romans 8:9. In terms of how do they now support the concept of the Holy Spirit indwelling in believers?
Yes, so thank you very much for the privilege to have you. Now, when you read the Bible, in John 14, the one you've referred to, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, this is Jesus who is speaking and saying that when He is gone, the Holy Spirit will do what? Will come, the Comforter. Okay? Yes. He will teach us all things. Mm. Now, He think that the Holy Spirit will abide with the disciples and everyone. Romans that you talked about, chapter 8, verse 9, says that when in sin, we were once slaves to sin, mm-hmm. but now the Spirit dwells in us. We no longer dwell in the flesh, but dwell in the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us, and He teaches us all things. So mm-hmm. verse 17 of John chapter 14 emphatically says, He lives in you, mm-hmm. and you will be in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the idea that is coming up here is that if we would go by the question you've asked, in our own just understanding, our simple understanding, what would be the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, and what this concept, I would submit that Jesus is talking about the action of the Holy Spirit, a coming, okay, to be a resident, permanent resident in the hearts, in the lives of believers, as he has promised. So he is going to be a permanent resident in our lives, so that when it comes to decision making, in Isaiah he says, you will hear the Holy Spirit speak unto you from your behind, that this is the way, walk ye in it. So the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. And here the Bible is emphasizing, remember, Paul also speaking to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, verse 19, he says, do you not know that your bodies are the what? Temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you will receive from God. You are not of your own. You were bought at a price.
Yes.
Therefore, honor God with your body. So when a person receives Jesus as a personal savior, in principle, what you are saying is that God must dwell in your life, in your heart, as a permanent resident. And your body now becomes the temple of God, the temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in you.
My elder, is it possible to receive, not to receive, is it possible to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept him, and not have the Holy Spirit? Or is it automatic that the moment I say, raise my hand, you know, others, they do the sinner's prayer, others, they just pray for you. There are a lot of ways in which, you know, the salvation acceptance is done differently by different people, right? So are we saying once you do that whole salvation acceptance situation, the Holy Spirit automatically is in you?
I know at some point Peter was asking some believers, and said, yes, you have been baptized, but have you received the Holy Spirit?
Uh-huh.
And they said, we have never heard about that. Uh-huh. And then he spoke to them, and they got baptized again, and they received the Holy Spirit. My considered view from what we have read is from the Bible is that, in fact, it is godly sorrow that leads you to repentance. It is God acting in you. The Holy Spirit is there all the time, leading you to understand and want to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I may not at that point have come to the knowledge that of God, the Holy Spirit. So in my understanding, you have heard people say, just something told me that I need a power higher than me. So I may not understand at that point the Holy Spirit and his work, but my considered view from what we have read is that when you accept Jesus, the very action of you accepting Jesus, saying, Lord, I want you to take my life, you resign from your sinful life and you want something better. It is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is leading you. So receiving him, asking for him to dwell in you now is an aspect of you opening up your heart. So God, like Revelation says of knocking, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide. He will show us who Christ is, like Titus chapter 2, verse 11 say, showing us the grace of God has appeared unto all men. But it is now the aspect of acceptance. So if I accept that the Holy Spirit, that my body be used as a temple of the Holy Spirit, then he begins to work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in short, what we would say is that the Holy Spirit will reveal the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will speak, but I have a role to play, and that is accepting him. So is it automatic? No, it's not. I've got to accept him and allow him to dwell in me. Then he has been empowered to dwell in me, and my body becomes his resident, and God is now in upon my mind, and everything I act according to the will of God, and other things begin to follow, such as the transformative power of God in my life.
from what you said, can I twist it a bit, my elder, so, you know, add a word for me. Are we then to understand that the Holy Spirit is there, right, in a person, but he is not activated? He is activated once you say Jesus is Lord. Am I switching it correctly? Am I still on the right path?
Yes, you are. You are right.
Because I really wanted, you know, to clarify that one, because the other one I was going to ask, I was like, okay, so if I've not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, right, so it means the Holy Spirit does not have a place in which he can dwell. He's just roaming around. But now that you have answered that in that way, now now the conversation will go nice, will go well, right? So now that he is activated, I wanna use that word the whole conversation now. Now that the Holy Spirit is activated in Zanele's life, you know, so how does he now contribute to the process of transformation and sanctification in our lives as believers or anything? Does he now start working because now he has been activated?
Yes. So now that he has been activated by that wonderful word, the Holy Spirit now living and dwelling in the life of a believer, a believer who has said, yes, come in, a believer who has given the Holy Spirit power and control to say, take over my life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, that in fact, when you get an example of the birth of Christ, Mary had to agree and say, let it be so on me. Mm. And then something began to grow in her because she activated. Okay, the indwelling, he comes. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes in me, he finds I am dead to sin.
Okay.
He will begin to do what? To create new life in me. That is what Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says. He is indwelling in me. He now confirms me that I am a heir, okay? Even to I'm a heir in the family of God. That's what he has said in Romans chapter 8, that when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he confirms us that we belong to God, okay? His indwelling also begins to install in our lives a difference which, yes, in other parts of the scripture is said to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is him leading. That is him guiding the members of my body, guiding everything that I am doing. Remember, elsewhere the Bible speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. So because he is in me, the Holy Spirit now begins to bear fruit in me because he dwells permanently in me. So me, who was like Moses, hot-tempered, when the Holy Spirit is in me, I am all of a sudden the meekest person to ever live. He begins to work in me a transformation that I am a new person altogether. The gift and the fruit of the Spirit can be seen by all. The abilities that perhaps may have been lying dormant, they, you know that nice song which says they vibrate once more. Okay, because he is in me. The Holy Spirit also, it is because of him dwelling in me that I get empowered to yield my will to God. I am going to be willing to say, Lord, let your will be done. I will be able to yield to the working of God. Why? Because remember, the Bible says, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, what will he do? He will convict you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is convicting Jonathan. What you have said is wrong. I will confess to my brother so that I seek for forgiveness. When I'm about to take a decision, the Holy Spirit will say, no, not this way. Remember Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible there says that the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Then very important words follow. He says, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to godly living and righteous living. I'm paraphrasing. things will happen. The Holy Spirit will now begin to teach me to say no to ungodliness, no to worldly lust. And he will teach me to say yes. That is now what Paul is saying. What I hated, I now love. What I loved, I now hate. That is the Holy Spirit now working in my members, working in me to produce the fruit that the world will indeed say, this is godliness. He's convicting me. He is reproving me even of the word of righteousness.
So, when the Holy Spirit is not activated, right? It means that as a person, because now we were speaking about, you know, transformation, it means that a person, you will not be transformed. You will not have direction. You're just living as a person up until you reach a point where the Holy Spirit is now activated in your life. So does that also mean that the Holy Spirit helps us to have a direct access to the Father? I know, through Jesus. Yeah, through Jesus, you know, to the Father. Does the Holy Spirit also now help us with that? Meaning that if you do not activate the Holy Spirit and he dwells in you, you will not, you are just talking. You are not talking to God.
Well, the science of our redemption is a mystery. In the sense that to those who have not yet received the Holy Spirit and confessed to say, come in and Lord Jesus be my personal Savior, God has still not left them. You have heard how the Bible says that. To them, God will still sit on their conscience. He will use their natural setting. Their conscience will appeal to them. So God is still using the Holy Spirit, but in a way that they have not yet confessed and understood. So in other words, it's mysterious in the sense that there is a person who has not activated the Holy Spirit in their lives consciously, and yet it is not that the Holy Spirit is not been working in their life. The Holy Spirit will be working, and he is leading them. He is doing things that are closing up the gap. The root keeps reducing, and he is directing them in a certain angle until they come face to face and say, it is God who has been calling me all this while. It's any wonder, for example, a preacher is speaking. I heard a story of a preacher preaching, and he preached it so hard, and he is sweating, and he saw someone who he regarded so highly in society, who walked up to the front, and the preacher felt very successful. After the service was ended, he extended his big palm and was greeting them and was saying, welcome. And he was intrigued to get feedback. And he said, what is it that I said in the sermon that touched you? You know, probably the preacher was looking for, you know, reinforcement to say you are a powerful man of God, and the words you said, this and this, touched me.
Yeah.
But you see, This person said, in fact, it's nothing that you said that brought me here. But a child within my community who has been so helpful to me, and I was a mean person, but he has been so good to me. He has been so helpful to me. And I thought to myself, why would this child be so kind to me who is mean? There must be something about this child. And I discovered it's because this child regularly comes to this church. And I thought to myself, there must be something about this church. So you can see that when the Bible says that all things work well together for the good of them that love the Lord and according to his purpose, it involves God arranging a series of activities in the life of somebody whose heart can be compared to dead in sin, so that the Holy Spirit himself is squeezing them, reducing the path until they come to a point of the saving knowledge of Jesus. So by that, what I'm saying is that activating of the Holy Spirit is a conscious activity, but in the period when the Spirit has not been activated, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not active in the life of that person. So they are dead in sin, and yet God is still carefully watching over them, and he is just working out things so much so that they can come face to face with an opportunity to say yes or no. Because remember, that is what God says in Matthew 24:14,
mm-hmm.
that there must be a witness that everybody had an opportunity to meet the gospel and they chose to say no. And that is the role of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So once we have now activated the Holy Spirit, right? I think I'm liking this direction, my elder. You've taught me something new today that he is there even when you have not activated him. Now that we have activated him, the Holy Spirit, will that now help in terms of the building of our relationship with God? Yeah, I really didn't want to go there, the God and the Holy Spirit issue. But anyway, does it help us now in terms of our relationship with God? Because now we have him, activated in us.
Yes. So now, the Holy Spirit takes the role that Jesus had.
Okay.
When he came, he was revealing the Father.
Mm.
Remember one of the disciples asking him, show us the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, look here, I have been with you for... You ask me, show us the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is a righteous teacher to his disciples,
mm-hmm.
revealing to them that I and my Father are one. The meat of my... The saving of men is the meat that I am here to do because that is the will of my Father. Then he says, it's expedient that I go, because when I go, he, the Holy Spirit, will come. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all truth. So now the Holy Spirit takes a role that he begins to reveal to us. When we are in the Spirit, dwelling in the Spirit, remember the Bible says, because you are in the Spirit, you will walk in the Spirit, the things of flesh. So the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us God more and more.
Mm-hmm.
He begins to reveal to us our weaknesses. When the more we understand, the more we are in the Spirit, the more we understand God's will, the more we discern the love of God. So in short, you are right.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Spirit has permanent residence in us, he reveals to us and he is able to reveal to us this relationship, and our relationship is enhanced. When
mm-hmm.
he is not activated, on the other hand, we can point those actions in our lives to something else. You would acknowledge that you had a miraculous activity in your life,
mm-hmm.
but you will not immediately link it to God because he has not been revealed to you. But
mm-hmm.
when you have come to this relationship, when God has been revealed to you, see how the Holy Spirit now begins to teach you to reverence God. When you are in church, you can't be chewing gum because you are in the very presence of God. So he literally begins to school you. He is showing you how to love God genuinely and truthfully. How you must appreciate God, how the gratitude in you are now a steward. You must watch over your body. You must watch over everything that you possess. He is the teacher. Our schoolmaster, remember Paul was saying, was the law. But now the schoolmaster is the Spirit, revealing us on who God is and how to relate with God. He plays that important role. So a relationship cannot be established without the Holy Spirit, but
mm-hmm.
much more, it cannot be enhanced without the Holy Spirit. So he is the one that will help us establish the relationship and have it sustained and have it enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, my elder, there is a question that has come through from one of our listeners. Our listeners are saying, since the elder is saying that the Holy Spirit is there from the get-go, right?
Mm.
It's just that he's activated. Mm. What was happening then in the book of Acts chapter 2? They even gave me the scriptures. I'll just quickly run through them. 2:2. Let me read the whole thing. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the listener is asking, what about that scripture where in verse 4 it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is already in us, we just need to activate it.
Okay. So what is happening at Pentecost? If you listen, if you hear what Jesus himself says, he says, like I already quoted, I must go and the Holy Spirit will come. And he tells them, wait in Jerusalem. And they waited after 40 days. That is the experience we are talking about. However, you will discover that the Holy Spirit from creation has been present. Let us make man in our own image. The Bible says that the earth was without form. You know, it was void without form. And the Spirit of the Lord did what? Was hovering. So the Holy Spirit has been present. If we had time, we'd look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Present, he is there. But at the time when Jesus is saying he will come, now this is him coming in full measure for the work that he has to perform. So it's from the New Testament perspective that I speak now, to say the Holy Spirit has already been given to us. He is come. He is here. Okay? Except now we have to open up and ask for God the Holy Spirit to come in our lives. It is not like now we have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come down again, the 40 day experience. No,
okay.
He is here even now. It's me inviting him to work in my life. So we can trace the presence of the Holy Spirit even in the life of Jesus. Like I spoke of him, the conception of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present. There are many scriptures in the Old Testament that will show you that the Holy Spirit was there. He would come and he would possess people and they would do great things. Even when you go to the psalmist, he will say that in Chronicles chapter 12, in Ezekiel. There are many instances in the Old Testament that will show that the Holy Spirit was present. But then the Acts that is being referred to, Christ says, wait for him. Yeah. He will come as a teacher. Yeah. And for sure, he came. Okay?
Thank you, my elder. You close it nicely there. It's going to be quite an interesting week, I must say, because issues of the Holy Spirit, Misham, they excite me a lot. So we thank you for today. I'm going to ask that, can you please close in prayer as we opened in prayer? And then, yeah, we'll be done.
Shall we pray? Our God, our loving Father, creator of heaven and earth, we want to thank you that there is one God, one Spirit. Lord, our Father, even as we have been speaking in an attempt to just share and understand you, God, the Holy Spirit, there are things that our minds may not be clear. We plead in the name of Jesus, you, the Holy Spirit, that is a resident in our hearts. Clarify these matters because it is you who is our teacher. So when we have not understood and not performed, the teacher will redo the lesson. The teacher will assess and the teacher will only be happy and satisfied when we are able to understand. We will not fully understand all the things about you. And yet, Lord, you will give us enough that will help us, that one day when we sit at your feet, we will be able, the things that we now see dimly, we will get there clearly. For what you have given us today, we are grateful. Continue revealing to us more truth, that ultimately this week we will have learned a lot more, even in understanding your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are present here with us, active in our lives, that, Lord, we may be able to respond even to the offer of the gospel given to us. Thank you, because we prayed all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you so much. Blessed
day. You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.